Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
There is an old belief that the universe is made of stories, not atoms. Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff is a show that's about the stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Dialogue, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. In an era of going green, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How do stories influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? Dr. Jeff offers stories of wisdom, healing, and transformation, and engages others to tell stories of what it means to be human and weavers of the fabric of the world, Gaia. Expect the provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic with Dr. Jeff. Get ready to expand the imagination, heal the heart, and inspire personal, social, and planetary evolution. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jeff Lineweaver.
Oldest acts known to humanity, that of storytelling, where we sit together as a community and listen to the old myths, the old stories, as well as new stories and stories of epic reinvention. Every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Dialogue Radio, we'll have some of the most gifted storytellers, social entrepreneurs, change agents, speakers, and authors helping you make sustainability epic. And today I am so happy and pleased to have artist and author Jerry Winstrom here today to talk about really his story of reinvention. And I think in many ways, art is a spiritual path, but as a path towards wholeness where self meets the world. So Jerry, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Jeff, and thank you to your audience for having me.
Well, it is such a pleasure. And I first want to let everyone know that your work, because sometimes people will listen online and also kind of look for your work at the same time. So your website is called Hands of Alchemy, and I kind of want to start our conversation off with that today, because I think your life is the expression of alchemy and the kind of light and how lightness and darkness kind of really move together to create gold. And you've talked about art as a spiritual path, but I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about how your kind of story came to be and how it's really been your guru.
How my story has been my guru. Well, I, sensing as a young artist, I was very driven, had an enormous body of work by the time I was 29 years old. And I sensing something was changing, and that in some way with will, intelligence, and good intentions, I had run out of options and feeling like something was missing. I just got, through many little sort of whispers from the universe, I got the hit that I needed to just let go of it all and find out who I was in a larger sense, larger than the identity of just artist. And on the strength of that feeling, that intuition, I destroyed all my work and gave all my money away and proceeded to live that way for the next 15 years. So that's sort of how and where it all began.
That's the thing that I find so fascinating about your story is this inkling. So oftentimes people get inklings or artists get inklings where you get so caught up in who you are, your identity as artist. And my background initially was playing violin professionally, and so when I hear your story, I relate so much, because I found that being a musician, being a violinist, I found that sometimes it was so hard to kind of go beyond the status quo of what it meant to be, quote, violinist, and really it's at the same point kind of wrestling with in some ways how I was giving my power over to the violin, the object of the violin, and I was taking the creative power away from myself. And did you feel that way in regards to your relationship with your art?
Well, yes. I mean, to some extent, I grew up in a poor, mostly black neighborhood where I was the minority. And, when you have nothing going for you and there's one little thing that you can do well and the world says, what a good boy are you, you tend to really latch onto it. And I think, you know, that's where the excessive identity came in and the attachment to, you know, self as artist, because, you know, who was I if I wasn't that? And yet, it's, you know, in some way, it's a double-edged sword. Yes, it's a nice thing to be able to identify with, but also it's a box and it's a limit, because there's a lot more to the mystery and to life that you haven't given yourself to, because this has carried you far enough. And I think in some way that's what I was sensing, you know, that the smallness of that container, and especially, you know, the art scene in Soho in New York at that time in the late 60s, you know, late 60s into the 70s, you know, it was, art became something of a false god where artists can do no wrong. And it somehow, there felt like an inherent lie in the identity and in the sort of easy way you could be an artist in the world at that time. And it felt like it ran its course and it needed to go somewhere else. And, you know, as an artist, I could not have done more than I did. I often used to say, if I could have painted my way to heaven, I would have done it, because I tried hard enough. And you can't get there from here. There's this kind of alchemical, metaphoric death we have to go through to arrive at that greater possibility. And that's what it was about.
You know, this, your story reminds me of the tarot card of the fool, and you've talked about the holy fool, but, you know, it's stepping off that cliff. I mean, so what was it like to actually take your work and really to destroy it? I can't imagine smashing my violin, but that's essentially what you did, is you smashed your work and started over. And in a world where we always have so many highs and we're always about kind of growing and moving forward, but I feel like sometimes, you know, people say the pathway is to bliss, but there are a lot of blisters on the way to bliss. And so, you know, how do you, when people are listening and thinking about their own story, their own recreation story, and what it means to hit that place where you got to, you know, how do you move through that?
Well, you can only move forward if it's an inspiration. I mean, it can't be a negative experience, because, you know, that's not necessarily it. Although there's great risk, because you don't know. And so, you know, yes, we need to move forward, but I think when you really get down to the bottom line, we don't know what forward looks like. If you look at any great movement in art or anything else, there have always been these radical departures that anyone in the convention would say is not a move forward, you know. But I think, you know, when we're sort of tracking at a different level, and I think generally speaking, artists, poets, those of us who have given ourselves and our attention to the mystery, you know, we sense something coming through the collective that's often, you know, defies everything known. And it's always that giving ourselves to that possibility, that mystery, that brings through a complete unknown. And it's a combination. You asked how it feels. It's a combination, and here's the alchemy again, of sheer terror. When you look out of one eye, the eye of the world, the eye of convention, it's terrifying to let go of everything that the world values. And then if you look at it the other eye, it's completely inspiring. And so destroying my work, I fasted for a month, and I just got really clear that I could keep doing what I was doing, but it felt like a fear-based choice. It felt small. It felt acceptance of that box and that small container. Or I could give myself to this abstract allurement, and there were no guarantees, there were no promises. It didn't look like anything recognizable from a reasonable place. But at an intuitive level, it felt like the greatest thing I could ever give myself to, with the realization that I might die here making this choice. You know, both of those things. But on the strength of that intuition, that sense of something greater, something more beautiful, I just went for it. And you know, and it turned out to be the most important thing I've ever done with my life. It completely transformed my life. And incidentally, I'm doing art again. I have another huge body of art because it no longer matters. It's not an identity. It's just a component to the totality of my life and what life had become, giving it all up originally.
Wow, great. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jerry Winstrom to talk more about what it means to give oneself to the mystery of life. You're listening to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their life.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio. Don't miss.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hello, we're back on Dialogue Radio with myself, Dr. Jeff, and today we have artist and author Jerry Winstrom. We are in our last break. We just kind of ended talking about mystery. We went to the mystery of break, and but I really want to pick this up because I think Jerry, the gift of your story and of your life story is about kind of leaping to this intuition. And you've talked about how the divine feminine saved you. And, you know, as an artist as well, there's that notion of intuition. But I was wondering if you could say a little bit more about, you know, how the divine feminine saved you and you know, what does this mean to you now?
Well, I mean, in the deepest sense, I mean, the first experience that it was of something of a very feminine nature that saved me, which is a story that actually isn't in my book. It was just too out there a story, but I mean, I feel comfortable enough talking about it now. I didn't choose to write about it. But it was really, I mean, where it essentially really came through. I had been fasting. I was into, you know, after letting go of everything, and I had been living that way long enough, and things were so enormously difficult, and I was feeling like there was some edge of possibility that I was so close to that I could see it and smell it and taste it and touch it, but I couldn't get through. It was like looking at a jar of honey and not being able to actually get through to it, looking through a glass. And it was a place where I was on my meditation mat, I remember, and I really felt, I got the reality of like the Tibetan tankas where they have the union in the center or the Buddha or some kind of place of enlightenment in the center, and then on the outskirts there are these wrathful deities sort of protecting it. And I felt like I didn't do it all well enough. I wasn't, in a sense, clean enough. I wasn't perfect enough. And it felt like a very masculine. You know, Yogananda talks about God the Father, God the Mother. He says God the Father is demanding, and you have to meet the standard, and it's sort of nonstop, a kind of pressure. And God the Mother loves us no matter what we do. And on the horns of that sort of dilemma where I was feeling so inadequate to get to that place that I was so close to, I felt like I just didn't deserve it. I wasn't good enough. I did not succeed. And it was a point there where I surrendered, and I felt like it was a totally feminine presence that gave me the honey in a way that it didn't matter. You know, I did enough. It was as if something just broke. And it was based on my initial surrender, realizing that place of I just can't do anymore. And surrendering into that emptiness, something very feminine came through. And I almost literally watched those wrathful deities disappear, and something very beautiful happened there that, you know, I can't really describe, and that's, I think, why I chose not to include it in my book. But it was the initial experience of the feminine, and I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, excuse me, that it was a feminine presence. It was God the Mother coming through, you might say, because God the Father was impossible.
I like that. I respect your journey of ritual and transformation. And it's funny, when you said meditation mat and kind of going into the story, I thought I heard map. But it kind of clicked for me about, you know, this kind of interesting kind of, literally like a honeycomb map, kind of as I heard you talk about your story. And I wonder, you know, when I think of this Divine Mother, and I completely... I have a very similar experience with the Divine Feminine in my own life. I was orphaned as a child, and I've always felt like I had this synchronicity in life that was much more of a kind of a divine intuition that's always been there, and never felt never felt quote orphaned, and so I can really understand that sense, that kind of that strange permeable membrane that's hard to get through. And yet for me, I've had this connection to Mother Earth, and I feel like in some ways I never felt like I lost my mother, because my mother was always there. And when I heard you tell that story, I really got a sense of that as well for you. And I'm wondering how does this Divine Feminine show up for you now in your relationship to the planet, to this, the issues of, you know, sustainability or unsustainability, or just, you know, ecological awareness of kind of the living world?
Yes. Well, I think now, because of, you see, what I gave myself to, letting go of all my will, good intentions, and everything else I thought I was doing, what I gave myself to was everything just as it is without interference. And I think, generally speaking, that vastness is the feminine. You see, the masculine needs to define. It needs to have its degrees and its accomplishments and its achievements and its identity. The feminine is just so vast that it's terrifying to the masculine, because it looks like you're a salt doll in the ocean and you'll just dissolve into nothing. So I think it manifests, you know, it, first off, it manifests in, as Yogananda says, to God we're all feminine, we're all the receptive. And so I think what it shifted for me was that place of will and strategy over to a place of openness to the moment, which is much more receptive to what's to the unknown. Because the masculine tends to know or want to know. The feminine is an open space that is available for what actually is. And generally speaking, environmentally and every other way, when you have opened to what is and you no longer are out there chopping away at reality and strategizing, what you get is the best of what is coming through, because you're present and available to it. And that is how my life has unfolded. I mean, if you think about me giving everything up, I mean, here I am living in this gorgeous place on Whidbey Island that's completely paid for, and I do nothing about money. And living with my beautiful wife, and after years of celibacy and letting everything go, I feel like, and doing art again, having another enormous body of art, I don't say that out of boasting. I say that out of, there's something about that, the process of handing it all over to that void and trusting the what is that's coming through the collective, coming down the pike for anyone open and available. I think what comes is the proverbial happily ever after. I think that's why we love that part of the story so much, because it's our birthright. And yet most of what we do in our lives is buffer ourselves from that possibility, because we don't want to have to go into the emptiness. We want to have and keep on having and keep on getting more, and then we have so much of everything that we think we've got it and we've lost our soul. I think the feminine is the place that the mother gives as is necessary, as is real, as serves your completely unique individuality. And our true individuality is something that scares the hell out of most of us. We want to look like something recognizable. To really open to the feminine is to allow the complete what is in your life to come through as an individual expression in the world. You know, we all do all kinds of strange things to be individuals, but true individuality scares us to death.
Yeah, amen. I think it's always so interesting here in our culture where we have this kind of the mythos or the current story script that tells us that we are the rugged individualists, and yet people clamor to all have the same swoosh or all the, have the same whatever. And I you know, there's this growing body of work that speaks to the need, speaks to the issue of ecstasy deprivation in our society. And another way to talk about ecstasy deprivation is that it used to be that, particularly in horticultural times and oftentimes through people who aren't connected to the arts, that the more we have altered states of consciousness or live from a place where we are tapped into this feminine, you know, meditation practice is another one, the longer meditations or fasting, we're desperate to have a drink of the feminine all the time. And instead, we are living our lives through false satisfiers that kick up a quick sense of ecstasy and a quick sense of being connected to a greater whole, but then are just kind of false friends in this process. And so how do you think this path that you've been living can help people know, kind of better understand how to live in relationship with the world?
Well, I think in so many ways that my story for what it is can only serve as an inspiration for others to listen and to track their own mystery, their own feminine coming through. And because each individual journey is uniquely itself, with all of its components, the shadows and the light and the hopes and the dreams and the individual personal hopes for what your life might be. All of that counts for something, and it's such a unique thing. I mean, what my journey will offer is the possibility that anyone can do it, and it's nothing new by nobody special. And how do you just find that relationship with the mystery yourself and give it a priority? And I would also say about the feminine that, if too much of anything isn't it either, there's a sort of proper tension required. I think along with the receptive openness of the feminine has to develop the will of steel. And it's almost like you have to have both of those things and be able to hold them both like colors on a palette. And when it's time for the blue, you have your blue available. When it's time for the red, you have your red available. So there is that sort of proper use of action and non-action. And it all comes with listening and giving the priority to some consciousness, some sense of self that is larger than the one that our fears dictate. The one that says we need to have a lot of money in the bank to be safe. We need to have the perfect trophy wife or husband to feel like we exist on the planet. And all the things that the world screams at us. I mean, in some way, we have to be able to turn away from that and go wherever. Because I think the nature of consciousness is like an Easter egg hunt. You never know where it's going to show up. It doesn't show up in the places that where everyone is clamoring at the door. It can be a bag man screaming in your face, and he might say the most poetic thing that completely guides your journey. Or it can be the most beautiful, desirable person saying something or offering something that just gives you the next step in your life. But you can't discriminate between the two, like one is better than the other. It's an openness to everything. There's a great mythic story about a swan that can drink watered down milk and drink only the milk. I think deep listening and receptivity in the best of the feminine way is being able to have that watered down milk wash over you by way of the world and drinking only the milk.
Great. Thank you. Listen, we'll be right back with Jerry Winstrom. You're listening to Dialogue Radio. I'm Dr. Jeff.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camino Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade-grown delicious coffee. The Camino Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 250 callers. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
Hi, we're back on Guyalogue Radio with me, your host, Dr. Jeff, and today our guest is artist, author, storyteller, Jerry Winstrom. Before we move forward, Jerry, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, our website, and you can see the current new sculptures, which I'm doing, and find out what we're up to, is handsofalchemy.com. And you can, there's my contact is there. My email is soluna, S-O-L-U-N-A, at widby.com, W-H-I-D-B-E-Y, if anybody wants to email me. And the contact is on our website. So,
Great. Thank you. Okay, well, you know, when we left for break, you know, we were talking about kind of the path of identity, and you were talking about the swan story, and I you'd mentioned Yogananda. And I was just really reflecting on this whole idea of, you know, it's interesting, you talked about this Easter egg hunt, and I was thinking about how we live in this world where, on one hand, we have kind of the modern condition of the Enlightenment, kind of this trance of rationality, or maybe too much of the masculine, and this postmodern world, this idea of, you know, this individual identity and crossing over to, you know, an unknown ocean of the intuition of the feminine. And, you know, so we have this other enlightenment, that this era where, you know, people ask, you know, what is enlightenment? And people have looked to gurus for cues or lessons around enlightenment. And so I was wondering, you know, in your now, as you, you know, work as an artist and you've developed your new bodies of work, you know, how are you kind of working this question of what is enlightenment on both sides of this schism of the, you know, the masculine rationality and also kind of keeping connected to this feminine that we've been talking about?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a something that I feel like I know in my heart that's hard to talk about, because I think it could easily sound pompous or like... First, let me say, I think enlightenment used to be reserved for the mystics, and it was a unique experience. Now, I think it's required of all of us, so it's nothing that's so unusual. I think we either do or die now. That's the name of the game. That's where we are at as a society, as a collective. That's what's coming through, where, you know, the luxury of choosing is no longer available. Mm-hmm. Enlightenment is what we have to become. And I will also say about enlightenment, it's a kind of one-shot deal. I think, you know, we get a lot of whispers along the way, a lot of beautiful inspirations and miraculous moments that, you know, if we're tracking and we're open, you know, and even if we're not, you know, the Russian roulette of life occasionally throws in a miracle for all of us. But I can say, as a conscious path, there really is a place that when we arrive at it, and again, we don't arrive there because we deserve it, because we earned it. We arrive there out of doing our best and knowing it's not good enough and having something given, like the story I said earlier. But when it comes through, it's a promise. And I think even that, you know, separate from any religious dogma, that is even what in Christianity, what is spoken of as eternal life. I think eternal life is like when we've walked into our death one good time and let the gods know we mean business. What comes through is eternity, and it's a promise. It's like it's a fixed reality that no matter what happens after that, and we still have to do our very best to be the best human beings we can be, but we're not dependent on how well we do at all of that. But we do feel the sting of error here or there. But in the end, that promise, that you might call it enlightenment, comes through like a promise. It washes over your reality, good or bad, you know, however, whatever goes on. All one has to do is be still in that knowing, in that surrender, and that's where renewal happens. And it's always a surrender. It's always different. The boogeymen always look invincible. You know, there's always that place that it's never quite the same as it was. So it's not like you can take that enlightenment and put it in your pocket and just pull it out whenever you feel the need to. It's more like it's something that comes through and carries your life at a place when all else fails. That is the eternal right there. Who knows? But I think even in physical death, it'll come through because it has come through in every other form of death. So I guess the controversial part I'm talking about is it sounds like, you know, you can achieve something that is very special. And it is special, but it's also such a requirement of our day. All of our useless suffering is an avoidance of that experience. So there is nothing else that we can be giving ourselves to at this time that is more important. And it'll color everything. There's a great saying I have right here stuck on my bookshelf. It's a Zen saying that says, "Die while alive and be completely dead. Then do what you will. All is good." I think when you've gone through that death renewal, whatever you do, it's going to be tainted with the beauty of that enlightenment, that miracle. And it's a complete gift. And it's not that we don't have to do our best, but I will say our best is never going to be good enough. It's a gift. It's a miracle. It takes invocation or prayer, whatever you want to call it, but you got to be talking to the gods all the time.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and you know, listening to you talk, I you know, I'm really struck with this notion of kind of the ethics of authenticity, and a time where we're all required to be enlightened, or not required to be enlightened, but you know, get on the path to accept. To accept this promise, or to be in conversation with this promise, that there's this kind of this ethics of authenticity, and so you know, in the world of sustainability, this game has been upped to a degree where a lot of people are promising enlightenment, and I'm wondering, you know, how do you, for someone who has been and demonstrated this invocation, a kind of ritual of respect, you know, what do you think of kind of the modern day kind of Enlightenment Inc.?
Well, you know, I think it's harmless enough in that, I mean, most people who set out on a spiritual path thinks it's all going to be love and light. And I think what we don't know is any spiritual path worth its salt is going to put you in hell. In other words, it's going to be hell for the ego because it has to die there, and it's merciless. So I think the allurement of all of those sort of, you know, Enlightenment Inc. kind of situations is it at least sets people out on the path. I think if we knew what we were getting into, we'd probably head for Wall Street and do it that way instead. But you know, I think the allurement of spirituality and the gifts that come through for the for those of us who all start out naive, every one of us, you know, I think that allurement, just to get hooked by it, is a good thing. And it doesn't matter how it happens. And I think authenticity will come through in the end, because the only real authentic experience is that which carries your life, even when the whole world says that you're wrong or you're off, or even the whole world doesn't understand you. If there's not some authentic spirit to the journey that carries your life, you will fail. And so it's not like you can fake it. You know, authenticity isn't a problem. Reality is reality, and that which is truly an in-depth spiritual experience will carry your life, or it's not. It's not right. Authentic. So right. You don't have to worry about it. You'll feel the sting of getting it wrong.
I like that. I like that. All right. Well, listen, we're coming up against a break, so we're going to take a break in just a minute, and then we'll be right back with our guest, Jerry Winstrom, artist and author at handsofalchemy.com. We'll be right back on Guidelog Radio.
Tune in to Guidelog Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Guidelog Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Guidelog Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Connect with your personal guardian angels, guides, and departed loved ones at Angels and the Afterlife, an enlightening day of answers with Doreen Virtue and John Holland on September 22nd in Seattle, Washington. Audience readings will be given throughout the day, so reserve your seat today by calling 800-654-5126. Discover how guardian angels support, heal, and guide to enact positive life changes. Tune in and increase your innate intuitive abilities to receive signs and signals from the other side. Seats are limited for the Angels and the Afterlife event, so call 800-654-5126 to reserve your seat today, or online, visit hayhouse.com.
Hi, we're back on Guidelog Radio, and today we are with Jerry Winstrom, artist, author, and sculptor. And we're in our final segment, and so we've been talking a lot about one's life story, Jerry's life story, as a real pilgrimage of identity, but also as a spiritual path. And Jerry, I know that currently you have a filmmaker, you're working with a Danish filmmaker on a documentary about your life or a screenplay. And, you know, what's this process like, you know, as it's kind of this double loop, you know, you're both living your life and moving forward as an artist, but you also have this kind of loop back and talking about your life. And, you know, why don't you tell us more about what you're doing now?
Yes. Well, I feel in terms of the loop idea, I feel like my life is at this sort of celebratory end of things where, you know, in some way we do all we do and eventually things change. And if we've done it, you know, well enough, or if we've been given enough by way of the gifts along the way, life reaches that kind of place where it's a time to bring it all to the world. And I think, generally speaking, in the cycle of things, because I'm an old fart at this point, at 60 years old, I feel it's, you know, my life has certainly been heading out into the world for the last 10 years, you know, with book and the documentary. The new film is actually not a documentary. It's a feature film that, you know, will be with actors and all of that. And it's been, so how has it been? You know, I've been working with Hans Fabian Wellenweber, a Danish filmmaker, for about a year, writing on the treatment. And we just ran it by Denmark's biggest producer, and she gave us feedback. And so it's back to the drawing board. And what we decided is I should write the screenplay, which is a daunting idea. But I've been studying the process and actually have begun writing. And it's been really kind of fun. I resisted it for the whole year. I knew he wanted me to do it, and I wouldn't. I just thought, it's your film, Jack, you do it. But I finally turned into it, and I'm actually having fun. And I think the fun part is, unlike the documentary, you can play with characters, and you can do things like that make it more interesting and just, you know, like a character in real life. Those people we call characters, you know, they're a little bit more fun to be with sometimes than the, you know, the boring normal ones among us.
Yeah, I imagine. I also imagine it must be interesting to write your story. You know, we're always telling different versions of our same story, you know, in so many ways, and kind of this retrospective of, you know, as you play with these people, you know, sometimes I find that, you know, sometimes the biggest jerks in my life were actually saints, or you know, different things have happened in my life where I thought, huh, you know, it's like that Rilke poem around the kind of the tough love angel that's really there loving you but also beating the hell out of you at the same time. And, you know, how's that process?
Yeah. Well, I think, it, you know, with any kind of a feature film, I mean, one of the important things is that you have contrast. So, and I think in any life, you know the contrast yourself, you know, the place. It's like that cycle where of birth and death, or the cycles of the moon, where there's a place where there's no more light. The moon has no more light, and it looks like complete darkness, and yet it's the place the light begins again. Similarly, writing and working on this film, that element, you know, those elements of light and dark have to continually ride through the film. So I think that's basically how it works, is, you know, you get to the, and I, you know, generally speaking, that was the spirit with which I wrote my book, because, you know, we could write about anything if we tell our story, and I feel like what I needed to write about was the places where all was lost in the most obvious literal sense, and yet something comes through that was totally out of left field. And there's the small little bit that we can do to make that happen or be available to that, which is find that little bit of courage to stay present with impossible situations. And again, that, you know, gets back to alchemy, you know, to be able to hold the opposites, and most importantly, while you're holding them, hold this place of unknowing. You hold that discomfort, and you hold that place of unknowing, and that's where the miracles happen. It's like if we run, or we avoid it, or we try to put things in the way that protect us, all we do is muddy the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the basis of the journey, and getting that down on paper is what I'm trying to do.
And are you still painting and working with sculpture at the same time as writing?
Yeah, well, I just finished a pretty major piece I've been working on for over a year, and it includes both sculpture and painting. It's actually, you can see it on the website if you look at sculptures and then go to the larger pictures of sculptures. It's the newest one, and it's both, because it's a figure inside of a hollowed-out tree. It's about 7 foot tall, and there's a figure inside, and then above there's this copper disc that turns, and it has four faces. So when you open the locket on her neck, the faces slowly change from, I call it faces of Eve. So it has what looks like a sculptural face. That's the main face. And then it has other faces, a very dark face, a sort of saintly face, you know, like the Madonna kind of a face. So and just a beautiful woman face, a worldly beautiful woman. But it can be seen on the website.
Okay. You know, I just went there, and I one of the things I really love about your work is all of the amazing mythic imagery, the alchemical imagery. You know, you have the layering and how you bring in kind of the alchemy and the duende of life. It's truly remarkable, and we're radio, and so I hope folks check out your website at handsofalchemy.com. And you know, I'm in the looking at the sculpture page now, and it is absolutely remarkable. And so I highly recommend that. So this has been, you've been working on this whole year, this latest sculpture with your screenplay. And do you find that it's almost as if you kind of need the screenplay? It impacts how you sculpt?
No, you know, this piece was, for some reason, it seems to have taken a lot more of my lifeblood to produce. But, you know, I just do what I can when I do, and I usually focus on one thing. Like, I traveled, I did a bunch of events in Madison at the Chazen Art Museum and several other places this summer, and then I came back and worked on the sculpture and finished it. And so the screenplay, in earnest, I just began recently. We've been working on the treatment, which is pre-screenplay, for over a year. And now I just really dove into the treatment, which I will give my all to. So it's pretty hard to do two intense things at once. So it's the screenplay I'm on now.
Got it. Yeah. It's ironic that it's called the treatment, right? It's like, oh no, I'm getting a treatment. Well, you know, there is always so much to talk about and never enough time, and we're ending our show today. And so, Jerry, I wanted to thank you so much. I resonate with your work so much. It inspires me, and the imagery of your art, but also your words and really kind of the essence that just kind of comes to me when I kind of reflect on your story in the world has really inspired me. And I hope that, you know, people take advantage of this episode, this show today, to kind of seek you out and learn more about all the work that you're doing in the world. And, you know, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeff. It's a great show you have, and I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. And I also want to thank all of you listeners for tuning into Guylog Radio. Guylog Radio is a place where story seeds the imagination and inspires you towards personal, social, and planetary evolution. Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Guylog Radio, where we'll have some of the most gifted storytellers, social entrepreneurs, change agents, speakers, and authors helping you make sustainability epic. I hope you all have a great week. Talk with you soon.
You've been listening to Guylog Radio with Dr. Jeff Leineweaver. Tune in each week, Monday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more transformative stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Guylog, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Explore the questions that challenge us all by asking, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How does this influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? For more about Guylog Radio, visit www.guylog.com. That's guylog.com. See you next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Ugh. Aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.